Welcome to the Build Your Coaching Business podcast. We'll talk about how to start, grow, and enjoy your coaching business. Plus, we'll dig into the failures and lessons we've learned along the way. I hope you enjoy and subscribe. Hey, welcome back. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how your past helps you build your business. And the reason I thought about this is because there are so many things from my past that come in and make what I do in my business easier for me. And sometimes I think that my clients are forgetting about their past. Like they hold it in one breath where they're like, well, you know, I mean, I've made a bunch of money doing these other things, but my business feels so different. And that's a very like big, broad way to look at it rather than getting specific, which is what we're going to do in today's episode. Or they look at other people and they think, oh, they did that so fast and they are just so good at all that and I'm not that way, right? It creates this like comparison. But even in that scenario, in that one, you just don't even realize all the things that person brought to the business. They brought to the game of how they do their business. And so in this episode, I want to encourage you to listen to my own personal experience. I'm going to tell you the things that I brought to my business. And I want you to be listening for and thinking of your own. Because the more specific you can be with yourself, where you pull something from your past and you're like, oh, yeah, like this experience I had, this like who I had to be in order to do this, this way of thinking that I had back then for this specific thing, this skill that I built, the more you can look at you, you can pull that from the past and say, yes, I've brought this to my business. It creates this sense of, what would the word be? Like experience and confidence and like just this like comfort with yourself as you do something different and new. Or maybe that's just even a goal you're setting or a way you're tweaking your business, or maybe it's building your business in general. But there's so much from your past that you can bring in. And the more you're willing to see that and you do, it just makes you feel different as you show up to your business now. So here are some of the things that I brought to my business. The first one in the line of things might be college. So when I started college, I actually wanted to be a double major. I wanted to major in political science and history. And then I went to a political science class and I was like, that's awful. I definitely don't want to talk about that. And instead, I realized that I really enjoyed my communication class. It was just like a 101, everybody had to take it kind of thing, I think. I don't know. And I remember studying things like nonverbal communication, persuasion. And my takeaway from that was that there is a pattern to what makes something work versus not work. And I think I saw this first in politics. I don't know. I was really interested in politics. I feel so grateful that I lost that interest and that I think actually it's not that I lost the interest. It was that I discovered more of who I was and that that's not who I wanted to be. But when I look at politics, what I see is someone that has been so well trained on what to say and how to say it. Now, when you're not appreciating the art of it, you might get distracted with the manipulation or the thinking it's not true or right. Like we're putting all that to the side. And instead, we're just seeing the pattern of how do they say it in a way that captures people's attention, that activates their emotions, that like starts it, builds it up and wraps it up, right? Like there is a technique, there is a pattern to it. And I love that. I love knowing that that exists in the world. And so when I think about what did that, like, I mean, that isn't even me like studying anything. It was just this lightning bolt moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, there is a pattern to everything. And that has always stuck with me. I think I love that about copywriting or like doing like speeches or speaking. I think that's the same with marketing, like all of the selling, it's all just has a pattern. when someone says they need to learn how to sell, it's like, I mean, sure, right? Like, but really you're just learning patterns. If we think about someone who sells a webinar course, they're kind of all the same because they're just teaching you a webinar pattern of selling when you do a video. That skill has always stuck with me, that there is a pattern. And so then when I discovered that there's actually a formula and a pattern for using our mind, you better believe I was excited. Because one of the first people that I experienced mindset from, I opted into some freebie or whatever, and she just sat there for like 45 minutes journaling. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna be able to do this. Like, whatever mindset work means, if this is what I have to do, I'm not gonna be able to do it. Because it just felt so intangible, so structureless, so like where is the technique to this? Where's the, like, how do I know I did it and I'm winning? And that's what a formula to me gives us. It gives us that sense of, I know what I did, I can connect all of these pieces, and I see how these pieces connect to the actual outcome. That's like what I love about the work I do with mindset. So that kind of tied into what I do now like that. Another thing that I did was I sold Mary Kay. I was 18. You know, you just get invited to this party. I was very heavily into church. I am no longer, actually. So I know this whole episode's like a who I used to be versus who I became. I was very into church and I became an ordained minister. Like, that's how into it I was. But I got invited to this party. You know, you go to church with people. I started selling Mary Kay. I had never worn makeup before, though. And so this is relevant because I was selling makeup and I was selling skincare, but I actually had never worn any of it. I was 18. And up until that point, my style looked like this. I'll paint the picture. Hooded sweaters and hair in a ponytail. That's right. That's what I looked like because I was a sports player. And so, you know, you play sports, you get these awesome hooded sweaters, year-round sports. And, you know, what do you like? I didn't have time to do my hair in the morning. I wasn't really into that. So I did not give time to doing my hair. And so I learned how to sell Mary Kay, but I sold it with scripts. And when I look back at that, what that taught me was, one, like, I bet you I could kill it selling makeup now because I actually use makeup. I know the nuances. I know the things that I would talk about, the ways that I would present the benefits, the way I would look at how is this product different. Because once you have purchased makeup and you have used the makeup and you have sat there thinking about, oh my gosh, what, like, I bought this, I don't remember, it's an eyeliner pencil, and I bought it. I don't know. It was not like a dollar. It was $15 maybe. I don't know. But it doesn't churn. There is no, like, whatever amount was right there when I bought it, that's all you get. I was like, what? I didn't realize that. I assumed that this eyeliner pencil was going to churn and that I would have, I don't know, however many churns you get in there. But instead, no, it's like, it's like shorter than my pinky nail, like half of that. And so it's like, it's those little details that when you buy makeup, you suddenly start acquiring all of this insider knowledge about the problems and about why your product and offer is better and why it like solves these problems and how it's going to be able to help someone and like exactly why they're going to love it. And it's like when I, like, so I have the ability to look back at that as a makeup wearer. And now I'm like, oh yeah, I could sell that so much better. Because no matter how many scripts I had, like, sure, you can sell from a script, but you will never sell as well with words as you will from experience. Because your drive to get in front of people, your desire to tell them about what you have will never be the same if you don't actually know. And so when we think about that in business, it's that same thing that applies to coaching. When I think about my biggest asset, how I help myself sell coaching, it is by using and loving coaching. And yes, that is like when I experience it with other people, but it's also how I coach myself. It is those experiences with myself when I'm coaching me and I'm using the tools and I'm just like, oh, And I see the ways my life is changed forever. Because I didn't get into coaching with my life. I got into it with my business. And every ounce of growth that I did for my business to make money then trickled out and changed my life. And so when I think about selling coaching and business coaching in particular, what I know and I believe so deeply because I see it in my life every day is that it will change your whole life, even if you only ever buy business coaching. I think about this actually with my husband because it's the tools I use in my business that I translate over into our relationship. And then I change the tone of the relationship. I either make it worse or I make it astronomically amazing. And so that's probably a lot of pressure to put on myself, but it's like, I know when I change me, that it's like if something is happening in the relationship and I'm like, this isn't great. I don't really like this. It's like, no, it's just because of something that has shifted and changed with me. He is still like, and it's like, it's not that he's still the same. It's that who I am being will change him automatically. I remember hearing from one of my coaches, Brooke Castillo, that we can't change people. And that if we could, she'd be completely on board with that. But I feel a little sneaky with this because it's like what I know is that when I change me, he changes. Our dynamic, our relationship changes. And that to me feels like a secret superpower of how do I change him, but it's like, how do I make the whole thing better? And it's by changing me. So I bring that into my business, right? That I know when I look back that I would have sold makeup better had I loved makeup. And that directly impacts how I sell coaching. The next thing. This one is actually the one that always sticks out to me because I kind of brainstormed this list. But it's when I started buying real estate. So when I was 23, 24, I had actually grew up. My mom bought and flipped trailers at first. I was pretty young when that was happening. But she was broke, single mom and kept marrying losers. And so she was always trying to figure out how to make money. I actually did not know we didn't have money. So it's kind of funny when you think about the thoughts you have about money and growing up. That never occurred to me. I didn't know that we didn't have money. I didn't know that shopping at the Goodwill meant that you didn't have money for clothes. Like, it just never bothered me. I had everything I wanted, my mother gave me. So I always felt very taken care of. But when I think about investing in real estate, it's like I remember sometimes she would flip houses. And so there was this house we'd bought. And I mean, I felt tortured at the time, obviously, because I didn't want to be there. I just wanted to be at home, doing anything else. But I remember we would be painting these houses. I'd be hauling garbage and I'd just be sitting there waiting for her while she did whatever she did. Right. So I had those kind of memories. And then she married somebody and he had real estate. And so they both had this real estate. And so when I turned 24, that was kind of my past with real estate. It was just kind of this familiarity with it. But my mother, who has played such a big influence, she was the one who told me I should buy this brand new car. And I was like, I don't know. Do I have any money for that? And she was like, yes. And I was like, okay. And so I did it and it worked out fine. She told me I should buy my first house. And I was like, I don't know. Do you think that's a good idea? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And it wasn't that I wasn't scared, right? I was just like, okay, let's do it then. And it was the same thing with investing in real estate. Let me think about it. It was during the market crash. So it was 2018, right? The market crashed. And then by the time I was getting into it and starting to buy, it wasn't 2018. It couldn't have been. I don't remember, but it was when the market went down and it was the overflow of that. So it wasn't right away after that. It was the year or two after when houses started to be sold off by the bank. And so I don't exactly remember how this conversation started, but basically I think my mom told me I needed to start investing in real estate and that I should go buy a house at this auction. And I was terrified. And let me just set the scene for you, right? I have no skills with any of this, but what I have is a mother who values extra income. And I was already a single mom at this point. I had my daughter, my first child, when I was 17. And so we're at the point of end of college. So she's six, maybe five, I don't know. And so I already was a single parent and I knew that my kid was kind of troubled. She was a little bit you know, she bit kids. I was like, oh, she got in trouble a lot. So it's like, I just knew she needed something extra, right? She needed me to be softer and gentler and more present and to just give her everything that I could give her to help her. And so I knew that I wanted to have this extra income, but my mom was like, you know, you need to go to this auction and you need to buy a property, something like this. And I didn't know how to do anything, right? My skill set at that exact moment was I knew how to haul garbage and I knew how to paint. That was it. But I had a mother who knew how to do the other things, that felt comfortable with it and could lend me her comfort, lend me her belief. And so I also didn't have any money because my first job out of college, I think I made like $27,000 a year and I was a nonprofit. And so I didn't have any money and I didn't have any skills. It sounds like the kind of thing where you wouldn't do it, right? But no, I did it. How did I get the money? We had this friend of the family who I never really talked to, but he was a friend of my mom's. And so I don't know, it was probably horribly uncomfortable, but I asked him if he would like give me a loan and he said yes. He loaned me money. He like gave me this itemized sheet. I paid him back every month. So I got the money from him. I went to this auction. I waited. It was the last, like it was the house, the third from the last. So I had to wait through this big, huge auction because they were like auctioning off all these houses that had been foreclosed on and now the banks were like getting rid of them. And I knew the house I wanted. I had never seen it from the inside before because the way these auctions work is you can buy them, but you can't see them. I know, doesn't this sound like a horrible idea? You hear this and you'd be like, I wouldn't do that, especially as a 23-year-old girl with no skills and no money. And so I went to this auction. I bid on that house. I bought it. It was like $8,500. And then there was like one house and I was like still, and then there was like, it was either the next house, but these auctioneers, they were already standing beside me and there was this last house and they were just like, you should buy this one. And I was like, oh, I'm so scared. What are you talking? I like at least looked at the outside of the other one and I'd like run some like looking at the back numbers and everything I could figure out about the house before without seeing the inside I had done. So basically in this auction, I bought two houses because they kind of were like, you should buy this. And I was like, ooh. My mom was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And if you are familiar with real estate, there are so many ways this could have gone wrong. Like it could have been a crack house where you have to like tear down the studs and you have to tear down everything and rebuild it because drugs, like there's certain drugs that seep into the wood. And so you can't even keep any of it. It could have come without a furnace. It could have come without a water heater. It could have come, I don't know, so many ways that this could have gone horribly wrong. But I just flowed with it. I went with it and it worked out. None of those horrible things were the case. Instead, what I had, because I think I bought that house for like $4,500. And what this experience, I know it's very entertaining. I have tons more real estate stories that are very entertaining. But what I took from that, what I learned from investing in real estate was multiple things. One was this comfort with discomfort. It was like, I don't need to know. Like, as long as I, like, so it's like for me, my mom was that person outside of me that's like, she thinks this is a good idea. Like, I trust her. I know that she's gonna help me to the best of her ability. I can figure out the rest because I actually don't like being helped that much. So even though I knew my mom could help me and I'm like, you know, I'm willing to get as much from her, I also want to figure it out. I want to do it well. But it was just that willingness to do something that scared me, that I didn't have all the information of, that I couldn't even get the information of. I just had to be willing to say, this is what I want. I want to invest in real estate. This is an opportunity. You know, you wouldn't know because they haven't done, my realtor kept telling me, oh yeah, they're going to do another one of these again soon. They never did it again. I was so grateful that I bought those two properties there because what that set the stage for was I kept buying two properties every other year after that until I had like 10 or so. And it just created this pattern for me of like buying properties and buying two at a time even. But knowing like I don't have to know everything. I can only know what I can know and then I'm going to go get started. Because in the coaching world, that prepared me to say, okay, this is something my coach thinks. Like, they think that we can make money selling coaching. They think that people want this. I know I like this. I know I want this. She's just telling me that this is what else I can believe. And it created a simpleness for me to be able to kind of lean into that and say, okay, it's like, sure, I'm willing to like try that and figure that out and trust that. And so when you think about real estate, it's like, sure, there were so many pieces of that, right? But it was just that willingness to not know and keep going into what I wanted. Another piece. So there was a job that I had, there was a couple of jobs I had that I actually did presentations. And so we're going to keep the context here, which is that I was early 20s. And as an early 20-year-old, I looked just like that. I didn't look like I knew what I was talking about. So instead, I did it for nonprofit. Were they both nonprofit? No. Profit, nonprofit. But I went out and I did presentations. And so I refined my skills presenting myself. I remember reading books and listening to things about how you hold your body, about how you sit up straight and like the power of that in communicating to others that you are someone that they can trust. That, so it's like that became something that just became who I was, where I sit up straight and I speak clearly and I articulate and I consider the things that I'm going to say and how it will impact the objective, right? If I'm there to get somebody to volunteer for something, I'm selling something free, but I knew that it mattered for me to hit on why they wanted it, why it was important to them, what they were going to get from it, not just what I wanted from them, right? So it was yes in how I present myself. It was how I saw myself. It was how I dressed. It was the confidence that I exuded, but it was also in that selling of something that's free, in helping someone to like decide that they want something. And that's the same thing we do in business, right? We get in front of people, we do presentations, we speak, we have to be confident that what our work is can help someone long before they believe it. We have to hold that belief first. We have to be someone that they can believe and that when they just look at us, they're like, yeah, I can believe that. So presenting skills, I brought that. Another job that I had was a marketing agency, and this directly linked to my copywriting skills. I mean, there's so many things I did there, but one of them was I would write press releases and, you know, just like whatever stuff that the what were they even called? The people who hired the marketing agency, the stuff for them, right? The promotional stuff, all that. But I had this person, and every single thing that I wrote had to be looked at by her. And it was just like going back to high school. She got out her red pen, and I would print it out for her, and she would mark that thing up. And I always went into it thinking, this is excellent. This is so good. And then she would like mark it up. And I never thought, oh yeah, I guess I did it badly. No, what I thought was is like, oh, this is so much better. Because she would take out entire sentences, entire paragraphs. She would add commas, which I'm like, meh, commas aren't that important now. I don't really care. Although I add them. But when I looked at what she did, she made my writing more concise. She made it more direct. She took out words that were unnecessary. And so when I think about how that directly impacted how I write copy today, is now I always do that for myself. I go back through and I'm like, do I need that word just again? Oh, I put that in this sentence and that one. Okay, I really like how it emphasizes here, but it's not necessary here. And I look for those extra words. I look for sentences or paragraphs that are actually completely unnecessary, right? I edit myself because I had that experience. Because time after time after time, she would take my writing and something I thought was excellent, then got all written up. And when it was done, I was like, ooh, this is even better, right? And then the very last thing, because this really tied into it. So right now, most of you know me as a mindset coach. I am a life coach that helps people use their brain in order to make money in their business. We use goals. We, that's what we do. But before that, I had a different business online, and it was marketing, right? Because I came from a marketing background. I came from selling. And so it's like, I was familiar with all those things. And so in that business, I never made very much money, but it was, I built a lot of skills that were relevant to the online space. I had practiced creating freebies. So it's like I built the skill of creating something that was desirable to people, naming it in a way that got their attention and created desire. It's like I remember researching and studying that so hard. I practiced with the tech. So it's like I already was building that skill of how do I link all these pieces together? How do I build a mailing list? How do I design a landing page? How do I grow my mailing list? I was building skills doing live presentations. Back then they were called blabs. there's another one called like Periscope. And I would just do a weekly thing and I would interview people or I would do some by myself and I would network in Facebook groups and I would help people and I would jump on a lot of calls and just like talk to them and see what they needed and how I could help. And that built a lot of business skills so that by the time I had shifted into like, oh my God, because what was wrong with my marketing business was that it was my head, right? Like I was afraid that I couldn't deliver, that I didn't have this sense of value, like this is worth the money. And so it's like those were the kinds of things that I had to work through in order to be willing to receive money. And by the time I had done that work and I had really immersed myself in mindset and learning those things, I was like, I was at this crossroads of, am I going to do marketing and help people with this? Or am I going to be a mindset? I only want to talk about how your brain does this to hit goals, to make money. And I was just like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I do not want to do marketing, even though I know how to do it, even though I have skills doing it. It was just like that choice. Like I can do anything I want. What do I want? But I built so many skills then that I bring into this current business. Now, when I run a free training, it's just no big deal for me to go into my mailing list and set things up and like write all the things and just pump it out pretty quickly. Because it's like I've done it so many times that it would take me longer to tell someone how to do it or to outsource just that piece of it. Because right, like even assistants, they have to figure out those pieces and they have to get familiar with it. And it's like, no, that's okay. I can just do that really quickly and you can do other things. So all of these things come together, right? All of that is before I ever said a word about my current business. None of that is with the skill I built in my current business. As you build your business, you're going to build and learn so many more skills. You're going to find the gaps of things that it's like, you know what? I'm actually like, right? Like I was afraid that I couldn't deliver. And that was something I had to work through. You are going to find that in this business right now. And maybe it came up because of something else in the past. And so you're going to be able to work through it easier. Maybe not. Maybe you just build it right now. But I want to encourage you to go through your past and just see what stands out to you. And I pulled examples of like specific things, but I could even go through that same past and say, what shaped me into this person, right? What were the things that made such a difference to me? And I'm sure my brain would come up with a whole other list of them. Like I told you about how I was a single mom. So I had my daughter when I was 17. And I remember I started volunteering at this organization and then they invited me to come and speak. And it was like, I was like, sure, okay, right? It's like it's those little things where you're like, I could do that. I could get on a stage in front of hundreds of people and talk about the impact of, you know, having a baby young and how it's like what's still possible for your life and all the things that I had done. And it's like, it opens up those things though. Like when you look at your past, and you're only looking for things that say, who was I? How can I bring that into now? What skills have I built? What ways of thinking did I have that I can remember? You then enrich the business you have because you right now remembers, I'm not a newbie. I am not starting at ground zero with nothing. I have skills. I have resilient ways of thinking. I have ways of thinking that are so valuable. And then you will just pair those into the business you have now, and it will feel so much better than feeling like you're starting at nothing. Okay, that's a wrap. I love getting to tell you about my life. I hope it was entertaining for you. But more than anything, I hope that you hear this and you hear those nuggets of your own life that you can pull into right now and say, yes, I am so, like, I have a history of doing things that I didn't know how to do. Of course I can do things I don't know how to do yet. And that will fuel you as you build your business and go after your next goal. Okay, I'll talk to you next week. Hey, who's your business coach? If you don't have one, I'd be honored to help you grow your coaching business. If your one-on-one coaching offer needs a revamp or built for the first time, I've created a 7-part mini course to help you. You'll nail down who you help, with what, do market research to make sure people actually want to buy it, decide the length of your offer, your price, and even your process to deliver on your offer. Best of all, this mini course is free. Your offer is not what makes you money in your coaching business. It's your beautiful and creative mind. Your offer, though, focuses your attention and builds your confidence selling something you know you can deliver on. Sign up for this free training at ElizabethSalazarCoaching.com. I'll see you over there.